starting with the Mishnah. We continue Mishnah Vav, Perek Rishon Mishnah Vav, the second part. We're doing Kaneh Lecha Chaveh. Right, we did Aser Lecha Rav, now Kaneh Lecha Chaveh. What does it mean, Kaneh Lecha? Acquire for yourself a friend. Now let's look at Rabbeinu Yehuda. What do you need a friend for? So Rabbeinu Yehuda says a very interesting thing. It says, Kaneh Lecha Chaveh. L'shloshe dvarim tzarich adam el hachaveh hatov. Three things do you need a good friend. Sounds as if it could be bad friends as well, right? Not all friends are good. We're talking about you need a good friend. What's a good friend? The three things you need a good friend. What are they? Ha'echad, number one, divrei Torah. For the words of Torah. What does that mean? Kamosh ama, harbe lamati mirabotai. I learned a lot from my rabbis. Umichaverai yoter mirabotai. And I learned more from my friends than from my rabbis.
They don't finish that though.
Huh?
But he learned the most from his...
No. You learn the most from your friends. It's not a guzma. It's true. Because when you're learning with someone on your level, you're throwing an idea across. And it gets sharpened. When you're learning someone on a higher level, he's saying something, you are listening. Now, you don't fully understand all that you're hearing. You then have to throw it around to get an understanding of it. The getting of the understanding is when you absorb the idea. The hearing an idea from your rabbi, it might be a great idea, but there's many things we hear and we don't fully understand and they don't stay with us. But when we throw it around with a friend and he gives a point of view and I give it a point of view, then the thing sits with me and then I remember it. Okay, Vasheni... The mitzvah. The second one is for doing mitzvahs. Sha'af kusha'ein chavero chasid mimenu. Even if his friend isn't more pious than him. Pa'amim shegam hu oseh asher lo kadat. And he also sometimes, his friend doesn't do something everything correctly. Sometimes he does the wrong things. Kashu ne bedava. When he has benefit, his friend has benefit. Oseh avero. He does an avera. Ava ein cheftso, but his friend doesn't have any desire or also no will. Shechavero yasena. He has no will that his friend will do an avera. Why? Ki ein lo hana b'ze. He personally doesn't have any benefit if you do an avera. So he's not, has no negias. He has no
bias.
And he's not, so he'll tell you don't do it because he knows what's right. We're talking about a good friend, not someone who's looking bedafka, a friend to go and do affairs with, right? He's looking. It's talking about a person who's a kosher yid, a good person, yeah. And he's nechshal. Sometimes he does affairs because he has benefits. A person only does affairs who has benefits, right? Fringe benefits they're called, right? A person doesn't do affairs if he doesn't have benefits. And now he doesn't have such a yitzara that he's going to tell you to go and do an avera. He's a kosher yid. He has no benefits. He'll tell you not to do it. So he'll keep you away from averas. For kamosh amu, ein adam chote velolo. A person doesn't do an avera unless he has benefit himself. Nimsu shnehem chozrim b'tshuva. Because just he stops you from doing averas, you stop him from doing averas, and both of you chozrim b'tshuva. What do you mean chozrim b'tshuva? You didn't do any averas. That's also tshuva. The want to do avera and the preventing from doing it, that's also tshuva. Right? Kol echad al pi chaveru. Each one according to his friend. So we're saying, number one, for Torah. Number two, for actions, for mitzvahs. To do mitzvahs and to prevent and not doing averus, right? We didn't explain the mitzvah so much, the positive part. But your nimshach after your friend. If a friend wants to do a mitzvah and you are not so keen on that mitzvah, you do because your friend's doing it. Or the opposite way around, right? You'll affect each other. So you want someone who's on an incline, someone whose spiritual incline is high, similar to you. If your friend is really, really a big tzaddik and you're such a small guy, right? You're going to feel like he's going to make you feel low. He's going to make you feel not, you know, you're going to feel like he's a tzaddik and you're like the Rosha, right? A tzaddik Rosha relationship. That's not a good relationship. You need to be on roughly the same incline. In different things, you can have different inclines. You can have different desires. You can have different, you know, he likes learning, I don't know, this, and you like learning that. Or he likes doing this mitzvah more, or he gets up for shacharis every day, and you, shacharis is hard. But you like learning late at night, and he doesn't. Maybe that's the reason he gets up for shacharis early. That doesn't matter, but it could work out, right? You understand? You're mashlim each other. You complete each other. That's the reason you need a friend. So it says something else, the third thing. Says Vashlishi, the third one, Linyan Eitza, with regards to Eitza. That means advice. Shikachena liyot lo me'id. You'll take him to be a me'ir, sorry, not me'id, me'ir. Someone who's me'ir lo, someone who gives him advice. Is right, la'azor, to help him, b'chol inyanav, in all of his dealings. V'lekachat mene Eitza tova, and he'll take from him good advice from your friend. V'liyot ben sodo, to be the person who keeps his secrets. Since they have this friendship, we won't reveal this secret that he expresses with his friends to other people. Not to be made for what he entrusted with him, not to be nullified what he entrusted with him. Okay, I'm going to skip this bit. All right. Okay, now he says, so we see now there's three things. What do you need a friend for? Now, you wouldn't have thought this. What do you need a friend for? Because, you know, it's nice. I like being friends. I like talking to them. No. A good friend is someone for three things. Number one, to learn from him. Because he has different points of view from you. And if he's an intelligent person, which hopefully your friend is, he has to be on the same, like, sort of level. You learn from him and he'll learn from you. You can be better than him even. But it has to be roughly on the same intellectual level. Number two, in actions, in doing mitzvahs. Right? So there's intellectual friendship. There's a physical, right? And then there's Eitzah. Eitzah is the more emotional. The more, you know, I don't know what I should do in this situation with this person, that person. Right? On an emotional level. So you have a friendship on all three levels. And to improve you on all those three levels, that's a good friend. So now we can ask ourselves, how many good friends do we have? Not how many people I like and like me. That's not a friendship. Not the friendship we're talking about. That's important also, but not as important as this. You don't need lots of people like this. You need one person like this. But one person you need. Yeah, question?
I think guys here embody probably all these, but sometimes they don't have the best intentions when they're trying to embody each of these. I mean, that goes for me as well.
We don't have to have the best of intentions. What do you mean best of intentions? When you're in friendship, sometimes you care for the person, right? And in order to be a friend means you're mitchabe, you connect to them. It means you care for him. So long as you care for the person, that's enough of an intention. You don't have to go into all your deep intentions, do I really care for him enough when I'm saying this? All it has to be is that the advice you're giving him, or when you're learning with him, you know, sometimes when you're learning, you know, it's very natural. I like my pshat, I want to say over my pshat, I think my pshat's right. He thinks his pshat's right. We're going to argue. We're very subjective when we're learning. Right? And that gets to an objective pshat. So long as I'm learning, but I'm also listening. I have respect for my friend. If I'm just nullifying everything he says and not listening to him, that's not a chavrusa. You're not going to learn anything from him. Right? But if you're listening to him, you respect his opinion, you're listening, even though you have your own subjective view, he has his own point of view, his own subjective view. You get to an objective point of view in the Gemara. And even with its advice, you're going to be more objective towards him because you're not in the turmoil he's in. Right? He's looking from his biased point of view because he has certain benefits or not, or difficulties. You, from an outside point of view, can give him more objective advice. And the third thing we said is to do mitzvahs. Of course, we're talking about a kosher yid. We're talking about someone who's a good person. He wants to do avodas Hashem. He might not know how. He might have a yetzer hara. It might be hard getting up in the morning. It might be, you know, right? Lots of other things. It's hard for him to do, but together you're going to get there. So you don't have to look too much at the intention. You don't have to hit yourself and say, I don't have the proper intention. You have to look at yourself more from the point of view is, do I care? Not do I care for him more than I care for me. That's going to take a lot of time. Do I care for him enough that my advice shows a representation of how much I care for him? That I'm objective with regard to him. You know? I mean, you could give your friend advice. Listen, I think you should sell your, what's it called? You know, your iPhone. It's not kosher. And then, you know, you just sell it cheap. Oh, I'll buy it. That's not strange. Obviously, you know what I'm saying? That's a stupid thing. That's a joke, more or less. But you understand? So long as there's enough of a caring, you don't have to worry about your inner intentions. Okay, now.
Just real quickly, is this his opinion? Or who is this Torah? Like, where is this brought up from, these three ideas?
If he doesn't meet these three conditions, he's not a good friend. You can be a friend. You can be a friend for eating pizza with. You can be a friend for kumzitz. You can be a friend for going for Shabbos meal. But he's not a good friend. Ma she'ama ukaneh lecha chaver. Buy yourself a friend. Loshen nikiya. It's like a nice loshen. Shim lo yimtzeinu bechinum. You won't find him free. Yikechenu bekaspo. Buy him with money. You don't hire our friend. You buy him a pizza. You buy him a present. You buy him with your time, right? V'bazbez nechasov and use his money kedei lasig el achaver tov, this good friend. O shi kachena, o yikanehu v'pius dvarim. How else do you buy friends? With pius dvarim, nice words. Speak to people nicely. Peace to people with respect, they'll be your friend. Ubaloshen raka, a soft loshen, velo yakpid bedvarov, and don't be particular on his words, v'yizbo imri piu, and with sovel. Sovel, you know what sovel is? Sabal? Sabal, you hold his weights of his words. Af kishom adava kenegdo. Even when he says something against you, al yeshivenu ma'ane, don't answer him anything. Shebeloken, says Rabbeinu, without this, lo yishe'er ba'ava, you won't remain in the love of that friendship. Why is that? Now he's telling you, shahadeot chalukim hem, people think differently. Everyone thinks differently. Upamim, and sometimes yivakesh dava ohavo kenafsho. He will love a person like himself. Yoma reize lo echsha. He'll say something to him that it's not proper. Vim lo yasekem, and if he doesn't do this, tifared hachavila, they will separate. Okay? Azev Shalom Shlomo Melech Mishlei Mechase Pesha, someone who covers up the Pesha that someone did to him, the bad thing that someone did to him. Mevakesh Ahava V'shine Bedova Mafrid Aluf Rotzon Loma, he says. Someone who covers up the Pesha of his friend, the bad thing of his friend. Mevakesh Ahava Ki Al Yedei Zeh, through this Titkayem Ahavatam, will remain the Ahava Shisbol Peshaav, that you will hold the weight of the things he did bad to you. V'shinevadava im chavera omer kenegdo v'choze oto v'omer re'i, and he goes back and says, see what you, Plony did to me. Ken? Mafrid alufu memenu rotzen lomo al havo. He will separate his friend. In other words, he's saying a very, very important thing in life. We're talking about two good friends. Two people who love each other. He says they are going to argue. Even two people who love each other very much are going to argue. Why? They think differently. Their outlook to life is different. Since their outlook to life is different, the way they look at life is different. Since the way they look at life is different, they're going to argue, going to have difference of opinions. They're going to think, what you did in that situation, I would never have done to you. That hurts me. And that hurts me, and you shouldn't have done that. And they'll tell you off. Because they're looking from their perspective. I would never have done that to that person. I would have never done that to you. How could you do that to me? Or they'll say words to you because they'll interpret you from their point of view. You with me? We all interpret other people from our way of looking. If we interpret people from our way of looking, and our way of looking is different from him, he might do something, and I'll understand it like this, and he didn't really mean that, and I'll interpret it, and I'll get upset. That causes arguments, because our outlook to life is different. Our way we think is different, especially men and women. You know, you have books today. Men are for Venus or women from Mars, opposite, right? Okay? Telling us all the differences. Chazal know the differences. In Chazal, most of these things are the difference, right? That will cause you have to understand your wife, right? Like, anyone bought anyone's friend here flowers? Why don't you guys buy each other flowers? Because they're completely useless items. You spend so much for 1 or 2 days and they wither away. You don't get to eat them, you don't get to smell them, you get no benefit whatsoever, apart from just putting on the table and watching them wither away. For a man, that's stupid. And yet, you buy this for your wife, ha! She's over the moon, right? You wasted your money on these stupid flowers. Right? That means you love me.
They look nice, that
one. Right? They look nice, okay. That means you love me, right? You buy a fridge, you love her? No. You need to buy a fridge for the house. You bought it also for yourself. You need to buy a fridge. Okay, maybe you get the nice colored fridge or the nice details or, has a flower here or something. Then maybe you love her, right? But these stupid flowers are completely useless. You love her. Because you're willing to waste your money on buying something that she likes and that she knows you don't like. Because she knows what a man is. Right? No men buy flowers. Right? These ones I know. I mean, I didn't see anyone buying flowers in the yeshiva for each other. Like, for shloch manot, they don't, just give them the wine, give them the thing, and there's no flower in there. But the wives, you wait, they decorate it, they put all these fuzzy little things on it, it has to look nice, right? They're all into it. Man, just put it in. What did you put in for this one? Yeah, you put a bottle of wine, chocolate, this, boom, give it, right? We're different. We're different. We're also human beings are different. Some people are like this, some people are like this. You're going to make a friend, it's going to be easier if you're similar. But there's a limit to how similar you're going to be. There always are going to be differences, so you're always going to argue. What does Rabbeinu Yonah say? If you are sovel him, you're accepting of him, and you don't answer, you don't get upset. Your sovel means you take the chavila, you take the back thing on your back and you hold it and you don't get upset with it, you stay in the friendship. If you don't, mitparek, it finishes. That, it's as simple as that. He's saying a very simple thing, but it's very important. We don't know that simple thing because it's often, we say, Rabbi, this guy hurt me. So I did this. So I did this. Why? And there are times where you can tell a person, listen, you're doing this to me. Please stop. But you have to do it in a friendly way. You have to know how to give tochacha. You have to do it in a friendly way. But most of the time, sometimes the person didn't intend. He wasn't sensitive as you, or he thought different, or all sorts of things. So, if you want to keep a friendship, we're talking about people who care for each other. So, don't answer back. This is a very, very important lesson. It's not, it might sound simple, but it's very, very important. Yeah? Question?
Does Chazal say?
We're not saying a person shouldn't go to a rabbi to ask him advice and, for things which are more important, the person should go to a rabbi. However, not everything comes to the rabbi. Sometimes people are embarrassed about certain attitudes and certain things that they do. And your roommate knows about them. And in the situation of being in a house with a person, right, you know more about him than he's actually willing to disclose. And being a good friend, don't have to be, you don't go into a person's life and tell him what to do, right? But if he asks you for advice, and if you're friendly enough with him, right? If you're friendly enough with him, then go ahead with that advice. So long as you might want to take aitzi, you want to take advice from other people, you might want to say you don't know, but at least listen, have a hearing ear. You're more objective than he is. Not everything and every little detail people come and speak to a rabbi about. And sometimes even important things they don't come to because they're embarrassed. Understand? A good friend saves you from a lot of headache later on in life. Like it sometimes happens with shidduchim as well. You go on shidduchim, right? And the time comes, second years, right? Go on shidduchim, you meet a girl. And, you know, there's things that you're embarrassed to speak to a rabbi, or it's first date, or, you know, the chin looks like that. You know, usually those things, right? But when you talk it out to a friend, it's easier. He makes you feel easy about it. You understand? You shouldn't speak to everyone about everything in your life. You should speak to a good friend. Because you don't like, you know, you're not like public property, right? There's a certain privacy. When a person speaks to everyone, is open to everyone, he's actually not so open. There's actually stuff going on which is much deeper that he's not opening to. He might not even be aware of it. You have one friend, two friends. One friend, that is sufficient. Who you open, you speak to, and you talk to. If you go to a lot of different people, you're going to get a lot of different opinions, and you're going to get very confused.
Yeah.
You need to have a direction, and in life, a good friend will direct you. He won't choose for you. You know, what does it mean to make a decision? Most decisions in life, right, a person has to make himself. The important ones, a person has to make himself. I will never advise a person to marry a girl. Never. Because he's marrying her, not me. First of all, I don't know everything about him. Don't know all that's going on in his head. A shidduch, you have to decide. It's for eternity. It's a major decision. You can give advice, you can give perimeters, but the person who's going to be living his life has to make his decision. No one can decide for him. If you see a person walking off a cliff, okay, you tell him don't walk off, you even hold him back. But usually in life, most decisions aren't walking off a cliff. Unless, you know, like, I think it's a cliff, you don't think it's a cliff. Okay, that's a separate issue. Separate issue. Then you have to mivara. You have to check for yourself. Is this a cliff or not? Right? Maybe you shouldn't walk there because on the Sufik. It depends what's on the other side as well. You understand? A person has to get to a stage where he understands enough about himself, enough about life, that he can make a decision and be satisfied with it. And you can use a friend to help you there. To take Eitzah and a rabbi, of course a rabbi. For major decisions, you go to a rabbi, right? You might need, you know, the bigger the rabbi, the better in that situation. Yeah? Okay? All right, now we're going to go in the Rambam, if you guys want. Okay, let's go. When we're investing money, we spend, so you talk a few million dollars, we spend 16 hours a day, for a few years, trying to work out where we invest that money. Is your life, how much is your life worth? Not $1 million?
More than a few in this world.
More than $1 million, right?
They could okay. They could use you for the Geico commercials.
What commercials?
How much is your life priceless?
Of course your life is priceless. So, how much time should you spend working out on your life? Researching on your life? You know, you have people sitting here, and I never understand it. I say, you believe in God. You believe in spirituality. You believe in the spiritual world. Okay, I want to be an accountant. I want to work. I want to be an accountant. I want to work. Whoa, you're crazy? You're going back to Schmutz Laretz, and you're going to spend your whole life working, and you're not even thinking about what life's about? Work, spend a year. Spend some time. Don't do mitzvahs. Just learn. Find out other religions. Who cares, right? But learn about life. You know there's a spiritual world. Find out about it. Isn't it crazy? It's crazy.
Crazy.
It's not so crazy.
It's crazy. It's definitely crazy. What you mean is not, you mean normal people in the world do that. Yeah, the majority of people in the world do that. Why? It's called Gzeiras Paro. Right? Parshas Shmos. They're about, and everyone has that, they're about to say, stay in yeshiva, just a month. Find out about life. And then they get, oh, but they have to go back to their job, they have to do this, they have to do that, they have to, there's so many things they have to do that take them away from just thinking about life. And then when they go back, oh, they forgot about yeshiva, they forgot about thinking about life. Because the whole world doesn't think. We don't live in a world that thinks about life. We don't live. Most of people, you ask them, what are you living for? What do you mean? What am I living for? No, what are you living for? What do you want to live your life for? What do you want to be said about you at 120? Where do you want to go? What do you want to go? Where do I go at 120? I don't even know. So, what do you mean you don't know where you go at 120? What are you? Are you an animal? Yeah, that's what they say. We're all animals. It's all behavioral. Oh, then you show them, well, there's also a spiritual part of life. Oh, yeah, that's interesting. And now you know the spiritual part of life, right? Why don't you think about it? Now, maybe there's a purpose to life. Maybe there's certain things which are important. You know, I told you the story when I was in Cambridge. Didn't tell you the story? No, I haven't said you guys a story? Really. About then when I was with one of the students of Stephen Hawking. You heard of Stephen Hawking? This big... Yeah, okay. So, you normally go with two people. So, that day, I was by myself. So, he finished off the problems. So, I started talking to him about quantum mechanics, about, you know... basically, there's... to make a long story short, in quantum mechanics you have an observer. The observer is outside the physical system, and he's the one who puts the quantum system into a discrete position. That's intrinsic to the mathematics of quantum mechanics. So I asked him, since the observer is outside the system, and quantum mechanics, everyone holds quantum mechanics is accurate, 29 decimal places, any system has to be a quantum system, there's tons of proofs for this. So if that's the case, since the observer, i.e. his consciousness, is outside the system, that means, and his consciousness is not described by quantum mechanics, therefore, quantum mechanics describes the physical world. His consciousness must be something non-physical. Okay. Talking about, there's like around 10, 11 people around Stephen Hawking then, who are his like top students, right? So, and this is a thinking person, right? So he says, so I ask him, okay, this is a long conversation. If an observer is not physical, therefore, he's spiritual. Semantics, yeah, okay. If he's spiritual, right now, you have to understand why this is a good question for a physicist. Because a physicist, these physicists are involved in working out, you have different fields, you have different electromagnetic field, the strong field, the weak field, you know, quarks, all these sorts of things, and they want to unify it in one gravitational field, in one theory. Why do they want to unify it? Did they ever ask their questions? Well, maybe the world isn't unified. Maybe there's different forces and different things happening around. Why does the world have to be one, has one source? Why does all the laws of nature have to have one simple understanding? Why do you believe that? That's a belief. Maybe it's wrong. No, they believe it. They don't even question that. So now I asked him, what's the source of this spirituality? The guy was silent for over 5 minutes. I thought, oh, I'm going to be losing a supervisor here. After 5 minutes, the guy told me, I don't like thinking about it. It gets me depressed. Well, actually, I'm quite happy about it. But that's an intelligent answer.
Not
sure. Okay. No, I wasn't Jewish. But that's an intelligent answer. That's I'm telling you, he's a brilliant person. Brilliant. You don't
get depressed just hearing the story. Wow.
Yeah, yeah. What gets you depressed about realizing? I mean, you learn quantum mechanics. I'm this 21-year-old kid, and you're this 30-year-old. Postgrad lecturing in I don't know what, and I'm asking you such a simple question, and you just today thought about it. You didn't work this one out for yourself. I mean, you know quantum mechanics. I didn't reveal to you anything big deal. I just asked you a simple electron experiment that everyone knows. Even in A-levels probably today, they know these things. Your high school, they probably know these things. Schrodinger's cat. Who doesn't know Schrodinger's cat? You know, the dead and alive cat. Its consciousness is outside the system of quantum mechanics. That means there's something, physics, the modeling of physics today shows you there's a concept of consciousness which is not physical. Hello, wakey wakey, if you realize there's something not physical, why aren't we all trying to work out what we're here for? What does this consciousness mean? What does spirituality mean? If you know there's a spiritual world, if the physical world of Derek Agav, you can understand these uncertainty principles. Quantum mechanics also shows there's no determinism in the world. Heisenberg's uncertainty principle says the point of an electron and the direction it's going, you can't know at the same time. What does that mean? If I know where the electron is, a particle is, and I know its direction, then the next like split second I can know where it's going to be. That means I can determine its next position. If I can't know them at the same time, says quantum mechanics, the mathematics of quantum mechanics says that, that means there's no determination. That means there's a level of non-determinism in the world. What does that mean? Wait, can we think, what does that mean? Forget about that, that's the truth. What does that mean? Why are people such dumbos not to think about life? Because if you think about life, you might have to change your life. That's depressing. We want to change our lives. We want to live a life of more meaning. Every day we're going through different troubles and different thinkings and different ways of changing our lives. That's what life's about. To live a life of a Jew means to constantly change, constantly be better. That requires work. And if you don't like to work, this isn't the religion for you. You have to work hard. It's not easy. You have to fight your Yetzirah. That means if you want two people's pieces of schnitzel and there's two of you, guess what? You give one to each other, right? And you don't eat two. That's a basic concept, right? You don't go after your desires. You control your desires. You control your anger. You control your thoughts. You try and be nice to people. You think. You're working on your life. You're working on the small things in your life. You get up for Shacharis in the morning when it's cold outside.
And raining.
And you do it every day. Okay, people get up for work. Here no one's paying you. And no one's going to give you tick, right? And you don't get promotion. And you're going to get any increment. The only one who knows is the one above. And it's another 120 years before you could get any, like, schar for that one, right? 120 years, okay, I'll wait, right? I'll take a rain check, right? It means you're doing it for yourself. You're not doing it for this reward. You're doing it for yourself. You're doing it to improve yourself as a person. If you want to live a life that you want to improve and grow, don't expect it to be easy. Expect there to be challenges. But be happy about it. Don't be, oh, I don't like life's challenges and I'll take a break on it. I don't want to think that. That's a closed door for me. No, that's an open door. That's where I get my joy. That's where I get my growth. That's where I want to go. You with me? That's why you need a good friend. A good friend is taking you to the right place. A good rabbi is taking you to the right place. They have to care. If they don't care, it's not worth it. A good friend is a person who's kosher and cares. He wants to grow. He has an increment. He wants to live a spiritual life. Find a friend like that. Find a friend who has an increment, wants to grow spiritually, and cares about you. And he has to care about himself, because he doesn't care about himself. And his spiritual growth, he can't care about you either. That's what we all have to get. And when we get such a friend, be sovel him. He'll make mistakes. He'll say things to you that are wrong. Be sovel him. Accept him. Accept this chavila of a friend on your back. and he'll be a friend with you for the rest of your life. And that's also speaking about marriage. This is very important in marriage. Your real friend will be your wife, B'zeh Hashem, one day. And B'zeh Hashem, before then, you'll practice. And some of them you'll keep till marriage, even after marriage. It's also good. Not always everything you can speak with your wife. You know, Reb Orlovik told me once, he says, your wife has to think you have good midas. You don't tell your wife all your avodas. That you leave out. She has to think highly of you. Certain things you can tell her. Not everything. It doesn't have to be such an open relationship. Oh, I missed Shacharis today. I didn't have kavanah. I was thinking about this. Don't tell her that. She gave up. She's dealing with the kids at home. Let you go to Shacharis. Now you tell her what a how you say shlemuzel, how you say it? What a jerk you are. You didn't do Shacharis, right? She came up, she was dealing with the kids. Why you go Shacharis? Now you're going to tell her all her effort was wasted because you didn't have Kavanah and Shacharis? Leave it out. She expects you to be in the high heavens when you're davening Shacharis. She's working, right? You understand what I'm saying? Lav davka Shacharis, just generally. You understand? Okay, we'll stop here.